nice to see you all. Please join with me and introduce yourselves to the people who are around you, to your right, to your left, in front of you, and behind you. Please join with me and take the hand of the person seated next to you. Together, we all take a very deep breath. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. There is a garden surrounding the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. The inside of the temple is lit by this same beautiful golden light, and we are all here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. To Him we turn. To Him we devote our time spent together. We ask that His Spirit within us so guide our thoughts, our feelings, our perceptions of all things, that we might grow above and beyond all dimensions of pain and despair, that we might become happier and more peaceful and more loving human beings. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen.
I was having lunch once with an ex-boyfriend, and we were talking, and we were having a really good time, and we were talking about all this great stuff in his relationship and all this great stuff in my relationship, and we were talking back to our relationship and the things that had sort of gone on for him because of that relationship, and things that had gone on for me because of that relationship. And he made some comment to me about, you know, I'm really sorry that we failed the way we did, or I'm really sorry something about it didn't turn out. And I said, don't you see what a success this relationship is? We're here, we have a great time, we really love each other, we're really cool with each other now, we're really clear with each other now, we really love each other. This is what the Course in Miracles calls a holy relationship, right? So it's only the ego mind that would say that our relationship was a failure. The fact that we didn't stay together doesn't denote that that relationship was a failure. I know for myself, at the end of that relationship, I've never been on my knees like I was after that relationship, and that's a good place to be. Right? And that's where I had to get to. I had to go through exactly what that relationship was for me. That had been a sort of a real important mark in my life and in my development and in that area. And he, the same thing, like after that, you know, all kinds of things happened for him in that relationship. And we talked about things he'd prayed for when a long time ago when he'd gone to a relationships intensive when we were going out and the stuff he'd prayed for. And now he's into all this spiritual stuff and everything. So for both of us, that relationship had been a catalyst. And when I pointed out to him that we didn't have to see our relationship as a failure, but rather what an obvious success it is, it became clear to me, and I think to him also, how many times in this society we are so confused about what success is and what failure is. I was, you know, I have a book that's finally finished, and it's coming out next month, so I go through interviews, and they're really big. The press really loves my failed relationships. And I say, wait a minute, excuse me, I consider myself a success, not a failure, right? Because a failure in this society means if you did a lot of different things, let's say if you had a lot of different careers, then you had failed careers. If you had a lot of different relationships, you had failed relationships. Well, beware this, because if you allow, you know, it's just one more area where we, remember the Course in Miracles says the thinking of the world is 180 degrees away from the thinking of God. So we all sort of fall into, we're very lazy mentally. You know, Course in Miracles says that is our problem, that we indulge, the Course in Miracles says you are far too indulgent of mind wandering. And that's why we don't achieve what we want to mentally in the realms of consciousness, the Course in Miracles says, because we have undisciplined minds. And what it means to discipline our minds is just like you discipline your body. You discipline any other aspect of your life. And that means, wait a minute, I will not go the easiest route. The easiest route might be to eat the ice cream. The easiest route might be not to exercise. And the easiest route might be to just agree with the way the world looks at things. But there's always, whether you're exercising your body or exercising your mind, it always comes from a conscious decision to not go with necessarily with the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance is not always the highest road. So the path of least resistance mentally has to do with the thought forms that dominate the culture in which we live. Now, the thought forms that dominate the culture in which we live, the Course in Miracles says, are thought forms based on fear. Because the world, once again, being 180 degrees away from the thinking of God, the thought system that dominates this world is not based on love. It's not based on making people feel good about ourselves. It's based on attacking each other and attacking ourselves. And all these thought forms that are thick in the racial consciousness, the amazing thing is nobody individually even wants them anymore. When you're talking to an individual, almost any individual can see, we can do without that. And yet, it's almost like we're in a hypnotic spell, and so we still just go along with it, not recognizing how dangerous these things are, because they are grooves. They are grooves that are set in our minds. So if I say, for instance, in my own life, if I say something like, excuse me, this is not failure, this is success, I don't care what other people think, it's because your own subconscious mind is buying this. The only failure is if you fail to understand that to the universe there is no such thing as failure. To the universe, all there is delay. Because the universe always starts again. The only failure is if you fail to learn from something. That's the only failure. The sign of a great person is not somebody who never falls down. In fact, the sign of greatness has to do with how you get up. You fall down and then you get up. The great person is not somebody who never falls down. The greatness of character has to do with how you get up. And how do you achieve greatness in your life in any area unless you've gone through those trials that have to do with overcoming the obstacles that you have? And so a lot of times what we call failures in our lives are exactly those opportunities for growth, are exactly those things, that those challenges through which we had to work in order to truly experience the success that is ours. See, another one of the six thought forms of our time also is that if you haven't achieved it in every area that you're looking to achieve, whatever it is you're seeking to achieve by the age of 40 or whatever, that you're not a success. This is dangerous stuff. And if you're only 25, you might not know this, but there's some people in the room who get it real clear. Right? This is dangerous stuff. I mean, all that maturity is that you integrate the various aspects of yourself. That's all that it's about. So it's like sometimes for one period of your life, you really concentrate on growth in one area. Another period of life, you concentrate on growth in another area. Just like if you're going to the gym, sometimes you're concentrating on working out your arms, and sometimes you concentrate on working out your legs, right? And then ultimately get to the point where you're doing it all. And that's what life is. Life is about working on various areas of ourselves, and it's all a process of success. But the prevailing thought form of our society, based on the ego, based on fear, would have us, you know, it's like we don't have enough to burden ourselves with. We are responsible for what is a burden in our mind and what isn't. You see, a lot of the burdens we carry are simply burdens that we carry because we haven't done our homework in the realm of consciousness. A lot of burdens that we carry are simply because we have not given them up. And that's because we're lazy. That's because we allow ourselves to feel bad about things that we're responsible for feeling good about by recognizing I'm only feeling bad about myself in this area because I'm allowing the ego to interpret my experience for me. And see, that's why we're not victims of our experience, the Course in Miracles says. The reason we're not victims of the world that we see is because we're totally a choice how we interpret the world we live in. We're totally a choice how we interpret our own experience. No one can determine that for us. Not only that, people will tend to interpret your experience the way you interpret it. And if they're still behind, it's your responsibility to make it clear to them, excuse me, that's not my experience you're talking about. That's your interpretation of my experience. That's not my experience. There is no such thing as an objective experience. There's no such thing as an objective, almost anything. Everything has to do with how we perceive it. And how we perceive it has to do with where we go from here. Now, if you want to perceive yourself as a failure in any area, the attitude of the universe is be my guest. We're totally free to do that. But the thing about perceiving yourself as a failure is that all that the universe is saying is, you know, man is failure, woman is failure. It's like a giant biocomputer. And if your core belief is that you're a failure at something, your experiences will witness. Your experiences will be testimony to that belief. I mean, if you were a heroin addict for 16 years, and then you found sobriety, then you got into recovery, and it stuck for 2 years, has your life been a failure? Have you been through an incredible... What is this, a story of failure or a story of success? What is recovery? Is recovery a failure, a story of failure, or is recovery a story of success? Now, the story of the 90s is about recovery. The 90s is about healing. The 90s is about getting off a lot of the wheels of suffering that we admit that we had ourselves on, but we're willing now to accept a new life. That is our strength, not our weakness. And we take responsibility for the mistakes that we've made, the places where the ego has had us. But once again, from God's point of view, the Course in Miracles indicates this is not a story of failure, because the Son of God cannot fail. The Son of God is who we really are. We're blind sometimes. We can procrastinate. We can delay. We can even do that for lifetimes, theoretically. But if we at any point say, wait a minute, I am willing to begin again. And this is what the meaning of born again is. It means that in spirit, in the realms of consciousness, the universe is always, always ready to start over. The universe, the Holy Spirit, takes even our mistakes and uses them for leading us out of the journey of darkness. And we know, you know, all this stuff that's in the air these days, even about relationships, all this stuff with Robert Bly and Deborah Tannen and all these fabulous things with the men's movement and men and getting into men and women getting... I mean, there's something beautiful going on in the world today. And it has to do with the fact that all of us recognize that we made certain mistakes that were particularly typical in the 60s and certain mistakes that were particularly typical of the 70s and certain mistakes that were particularly typical of the 80s. At the same time, by the way, we developed some really good, you know, powerful strengths, particularly typical of the 60s. Some powerful strengths, perhaps, typical of what we were doing in the 70s. Some powerful strengths typical of what we were doing in the 80s. And nobody gets to rush anybody. And nobody gets to determine what anybody else's process is about. And nobody gets to look at you at any point and saying, you're finished. Because none of us are finished. But you know what? Life is hard enough. If you have this burden of thinking that you're a failure, or you're bound by your mistakes, or you didn't do it right, or somebody else is looking at you and saying you didn't do it right, you're going to have a real hard time waking up in the morning and doing it today as well as you might. So, once again, in regarding what success and failure are, what you do, first step that you do in the realm of consciousness, is to give up the idea of failure. There is no such thing. All there is this process that theoretically, according to the Course in Miracles anyway, goes on forever. It never stops. You're always working on it. You're always on your way. Success has to do with the fact that you learned what you learned in any given situation. If you failed to learn the maximal, as the Course in Miracles would say, if you didn't take the maximal advantage of the opportunities for learning which were afforded you in that situation, the universe has no judgment on this. According to the Course in Miracles, all that means is the universe will send you the next person, the next situation. Can anybody honestly look at your life and see that it's any different? Doesn't every relationship take up where the last one left off? Doesn't every situation on a certain level take up where the last one left off? The universe, in that sense, is very patient. So for us to experience ourselves as success, first of all, we want to recognize on the level of consciousness, we are all coded for it. A Course in Miracles makes it clear, all of us are coded for success. And success means a life that works. Success means a life that's happy. Success means that in any given area, you're clear. And success means in any area of life, you have given up the domination mentally of the thought forms of fear and instead learn to live through the eyes of love, learn to see through the eyes of love. And by the way, this is not easy to do. This is not easy to do on this earth the way it is, because the world, once again, is dominated by the thought forms of fear. You know, there's some false modesty that doesn't serve us either. I would think that most people in this room, you know, like we were talking a few weeks ago, and saying that for most people in this room, you already have enough knowledge of spiritual principle that at this point, if you would just practice what you know, your life would be heavenly. Well, that also means that I would think for most people in this room, if not all on a certain level, you have a lot in terms of your growth to acknowledge yourself for. Am I wrong? But we think that that's lacking in humility. In fact, it's very important that you honor yourself for the strides that you've made. It's very important for us to honor ourselves for the things that we've learned. And it's very important that we acknowledge ourselves and honor ourselves for the fact that we have allowed healing and gone on. You know, like if you have a relationship where you broke up and you went through whatever you went through, but now you're friends and you really get it and you're really there for each other. Once again, that in itself is a success. Remember, A Course in Miracles says that relationships are assignments. People come together for a certain period of time. And when physical proximity, The Course in Miracles says, no longer serves the highest maximal learning opportunity for both people, they appear to separate. So to the eyes of the world, you know, like the marriage failed, to the eyes of the Holy Spirit, the marriage succeeded. It succeeded, and then they're staying together physically, no longer serve the purpose. I can see in everything I've done professionally, everything was a great success because it taught me exactly what I needed to learn to go closer to what was most me. And you really begin to see in areas like this how vicious the thinking of the world is. Now, there's no one to blame for the viciousness of the thinking of the world. But we do, The Course in Miracles indicates, have to take responsibility for choosing to see things differently. The Son of God is sacred ground. The Son of God is holy ground. Somebody, you know, this idea that any of us, none of us are more holy than anybody else. When we think in terms of a holy person, a holy man, or a holy woman, all that a holy man or a holy woman is someone who recognizes that the Son of God is sacred space. The Son of God is who each and every one of us are. And to put him down is blasphemy. And putting him down in yourself is no less blasphemous than putting him down in anyone else. None of us are any more or less holy than anybody else. None of us are any more or less coded for success than anyone else. None of us are any more or less brilliant than anyone else. Because who we really are, the Course says, is that place where there's only one of us. We're the same person deep down. And this person, Son of God, whatever you want to call it, Christ self, is that essence of God's creation, which is innocent and is good. And sometimes the Son of God forgets who he is. Sometimes the Son of God gets confused living in a very confusing world. It's like, excuse me. Sometimes the Son of God delays. But the message of the Course in Miracles is that the Son of God can't make himself less than good. The Son of God can't make himself less than brilliant. All he can do is forget how good he is, forget how brilliant he is. So we go through situations and relationships where we don't see the innocence in each other. That doesn't mean the innocence in each other isn't there. So the first thing we want to do is to recognize that any mistakes that you've ever made in your life, that's what real forgiveness is. It doesn't mean you are forgiven as in, yeah, you really made some bad mistakes, but, you know, God forgives you because for whatever reason he would forgive you. The Course in Miracles says the issue here is to understand God never condemned you. God doesn't forgive you because God never condemned you. Real forgiveness means recognizing that only the love, only the goodness is the energy that is real in this world. And anything else was just a detour you took. God's not angry because you took a detour in your life. God doesn't see mistakes we've made as sins that he wants to punish. Of course, the miracle says God sees mistakes we've made as mistakes that represent places where we forgot our love. We didn't hurt him. We hurt ourselves. That's all that sin is loveless perception. It's an archery term. You missed the mark. You sinned. That doesn't mean you sinned. You were bad. You see, this society, a lot of liberals who think they don't believe in the concept of sin sure as hell do. Because they're real into reminding you, you messed up. And anybody who says you messed up or you're a failure or you made these mistakes, that's no different than somebody saying you're a sinner. It's the same thing. It's saying that your essence, your essential goodness has somehow been changed. And it's very important that we remember that our essential goodness is unchangeable. Because the the unconscious mind is like this computer constantly being fed data. And that data has to do with our thoughts. And that's why all change is mental change, change in the realm of consciousness. We're responsible for what we say to ourselves. That's why when you declare something, the way you language your own life, to show your self-honor. Sometimes, you know, somebody will stand up, let's say in the second half or something, and they'll make a joke about themselves at their own expense. And I'll say, wait a minute, the room can't laugh with you about that. Because we both get why you're saying it. I mean, we all get why you're saying it, but it's not funny. It's not funny when we make fun of ourselves inordinately. It's not funny when we, especially it's not funny if we get some entertainment value out of it and people can applaud us for the entertainment value of portraying ourselves as small. We can't do this and live responsibly towards the planet at this time because the planet is very much in need of our maturity. Our unconsciousness and our immaturity no longer works for the world. It's not just your own life you're holding back when you play small. It's the whole planet you're holding back when you play small. Because when you play small, you're not releasing your energy into expression. It's not just your right to feel good about yourself and to honor yourself for your even for your mistakes because of what you learned and what you were doing from those mistakes. It's important to acknowledge yourself and to honor yourself for the pain that you endured and to honor yourself for the fact that you were willing to get up again and to start over again and to remember the times when it was very difficult for you to do that and yet you did. You are not contributing to the universe by holding yourself. You see, it's all the conspiracy of the ego that you should feel bad about yourself now. The ego wants you to feel bad about yourself and to have all this false humility because there's no way you're going to stand up on the planet as a great man or a great woman if you do that. But the ego, remember the Course in Miracles says the ego has everything upside down, including humility and arrogance. It's not arrogance to say, yeah, I've been through the wars and I'm doing pretty well. That's not arrogance. Excuse me, if you say I'm doing pretty well, that's not arrogance. That is humility. Because you're not claiming that that power is personally yours. You're claiming that it is the power of the Son of God. And it's very important for us to testify in our own lives. Incredibly important if we really desire that the world move through its dark patterns and move through a time when there is no sickness and no pain and there's harmony back on this plane. It is very important that each of us truly understand at the deepest levels of our minds and our hearts and testify to in our own lives that the Son of God, and that means everybody we know and we ourselves, have suffered enough. We deserve to be put down no longer. We deserve to be invalidated no longer. We deserve to be attacked no longer. We deserve to be judged no longer. It's like enough is enough. Because what we recognize is that the violence of our collective experience, the violence of war, the violence of torture, the violence of hunger, the violence on our streets, is all just the accumulated projection of all the violence that we experience in our little interactions, day after day, moment after moment, with ourselves and with each other. And there's no cleaning up the world in broad strokes. There's only cleaning up the world in small, moment after moment choices to love instead of to fear. And love of ourselves means an acknowledgement that we have learned what we have learned and we are ready now to give up all our dysfunctional patterns and to move on. And no, we're not finished yet. Yes, we still have our neuroses. Yes, we still have our weaknesses. But your neuroses don't make you a failure at life. Your neuroses are only your failure if you're unconscious of them. I mean, before you're healed of a neurotic pattern, first you have to become aware of it. So a lot of the only failure is someone who's just not looking. If you're looking, you're going through it, let's say you're in therapy. I mean, has anybody here like seen a neurotic pattern and the next day it was gone? That's not the way it works. And sometimes the biggest work is to get to the point where you're able to see it and you're able to stand up about it and you're able to bring it into focus. You're able to hear it when people tell you. You're able to get clear and you have to go through the grief sometimes of knowing. Sometimes usually it was the grief that you weren't experiencing, which is why you developed a neurotic pattern to begin with, which means your neurotic pattern didn't come about because one day you just decided to be a jerk. Your neurotic patterns came about because the pain was so great, you totally didn't know how to move through it, so somewhere in your heart, you just shut down. You deserve condemnation for this? I don't think so. I think we deserve compassion for what we've experienced. That doesn't mean we're going to see ourselves as victims and not take responsibility for it. It's all part of taking responsibility for it. But we know that we have to move through that grief. We have to move through whatever we have to move through in order to then become aware enough and brave enough to say, I recognize that I do this and I'm willing to give it up. And we're moving. And we're moving forward. And most everybody that I know is moving faster than I would have thought possible. And that's not arrogant of us to recognize that about ourselves. It's humble. So if you know anything about yourself that you didn't know before, you're a success in life. If you have healed in any relationship that used to be one of conflict, you are a success. If there's any area of life where you've put some stuff together, even things that didn't work and that didn't come together in a certain way, but now your awareness is clear and straight, and you humbly ask God to bring it all together in a way that is good for the world, you're a success. Look how hard it is on a certain level to live in this world. It's not an easy place. The fact that you got up, that you're at places like this, certainly, whether it's any place where you're going and you're seeking a clearer vision of life, it's very important for us to remember that this means we're a success at the things that matter. The ego mind will always be there to tell you that you're less than. It's the same ego mind that will always be there to tell you, to remind you that other people are less than. There'll always be this little voice in your head telling the other person is not as good as they should be. The other person, you should judge the other person, and you should find fault with the other person. And the other person didn't do right by you. And the other person isn't perfect, and the other person isn't living their life the way you think they should live their life. I mean, all of us have these voices in our heads. But that same voice in your head will always be out there to tell you that you're not good enough either. By the way, not only are they a jerk, you're a jerk. And the way that voice works is if you want to forgive other people, the ego is so insidious and so sly that sometimes the way it's like transferring addictions, sometimes the way the ego works is if you start forgiving everybody, oh, it's true, my dad didn't do it, my mom didn't do it, that person didn't do it, that person didn't do it. Well, the ego gets clear that you're serious about this stuff. So once the ego starts to convince you that those people really are bad, but you decide, no, I'm not going to buy it, the ego comes up with things like, you know, you're right. They really didn't do anything wrong. Now that I think about it, you're the one who is so bad. Because the ego doesn't care who you find fault with as long as you are attacking the Son of God. It is the attack itself which is the problem, as long as somebody's an enemy. There doesn't have to be any blame. There doesn't have to be any fault. We're all learning, and we all tried. And that's it. And we have to be responsible for that consciousness. And as long as you are, you know, you bring into your life people who will basically tell you what you think about yourself. And then when you say, now, wait a minute, I don't invite that anymore because I don't believe that anymore. And you start holding the line yourself. Then there's those 3 days between the crucifixion and the resurrection. There's that period of time during which the universe is still presenting ghosts for your consideration. The universe is still presenting you with voices that don't even exist anymore, but which represent the thinking you had before, but it just hasn't completely died down in the universe yet. And during that phase, it's very important that you set the line. You say, excuse me, that's not the way I see things. It's not the way I see myself. And then what happens is like throwing water on the wicked witch. She didn't have the power that you thought. Because when people, when the ego mind, it's like putting the crucifix in front of the vampire. You simply can't continue to exist. When you put truth in the presence of a lie, the lie will shut up because it has no power behind it. The lie has no power. It seems more powerful than it is. And that's why the Course in Miracles says, don't be afraid of the ego. So you simply set the tone in your own life. And you say, excuse me, I don't, it's just an energy that you carry. It's not confrontive. It's not certainly not violent, certainly not attacking another person's position. That's just making clear how you see things. And you're responsible for that. And when you really get it on the level of your consciousness, you know there's no one to be angry at. No one's doing it to us. There's no one to blame. There's no monolithic ego out there. We are responsible for setting the tone of honoring ourselves.
It's very difficult to get to the point where we honor ourselves until we honor others. It's also very difficult to honor ourselves if we don't honor others. Did I say that right? I got my double. It's difficult to honor other people without honoring ourselves, just as it is difficult to honor ourselves without honoring other people. You know, sometimes I hear people say, am I supposed to love myself before I love other people? Or do I have to love other people before I love myself? My answer to that is, aren't there enough hours in the day? Obviously, we have to work on both. And if you've been loving other people at the expense of yourself, your next phase of growth is going to have to do with loving yourself. And if you've been loving yourself at the expense of other people, your next phase of growth is going to have to be on loving other people. It's a full-time job, this consciousness stuff. And that's what we're here for. But tonight we're talking about honoring ourselves, because ultimately it's difficult to honor other people when you don't honor yourself. Because you don't really understand why it's so important. You understand that you're holding the world back when you don't give other people a place of honor, a space of honor. And that's the mean-spiritedness that has got to stop. It is, as the Course in Miracles would indicate, and if we really look closely at our lives and the lives on the planet, it's very clear, it is not all that long a trip between bitchiness and murder. The only thing I find funny is that you find that funny. Course in Miracles, there's a line in the Course in Miracles where it says, it would be funny if it were not so tragic. It is funny, but it is tragic. And I think we laughed because we know on some level that it's true. So, let us, in honoring the Son of God, begin by recognizing who He is and where He lives. He is us. And He lives inside us. And He has been attacked and He has been spat on. That's the story of Jesus. That's the story of our own journey in consciousness. He really didn't do anything to harm anyone. And they spat on Him, and they betrayed Him, and they tortured Him, and they were mean to Him, and they humiliated Him, and then they murdered Him. And in various ways, each and every one of us, on the level of our most essential self, have experienced that. There's a level on which each of us can recognize that we have been through that. And the thing is, who was the murderer? Who is the betrayer? Who is the one doing the horrible things? We were. Nobody has been mean to us, usually, like we've been mean to ourselves. When you think about it, has anybody ever snatched the candy away from you as much as you've snatched it away from yourself? Even if your parents taught you how to do it, didn't you take the ball and run with it? Even if your parents were mean, wasn't it usually small to how vicious you've been to yourself? And even if they were vicious rather than mean, didn't you at least hold on to it in some ways? Usually if somebody's mother said, you'll never be able to do that, dear, and that played in your mind enough that you're not good enough, by the time what Freud called your superego ran with that, it became, I hate you, saying to ourselves, I hate you. Well, the universe isn't going to forgive us till we forgive us. And forgiveness means recognizing that only the love was real. All the good stuff you did was real. And all the negative stuff that you did was a place where you didn't know how to do it any better and still have your needs met. And you would have if you could have. I don't know, is there anybody in this room for whom that's not true? Anytime you've been less than what you're capable of, wouldn't you have done it right if you had known how? So do you deserve punishment for a moment of pain? Or do you deserve some compassion for that moment of pain? Because don't look for anybody else to give you compassion that you're not willing to give yourself. We have to set the tone. Four. So once again, we don't have to ask forgiveness from God because He never condemned us. We have to forgive ourselves, which means we have to be willing to see the truth about ourselves, which is basically we're good people because God created us that way. And our worst mistakes were made in a moment of fear. Not in a moment of maliciousness. And even what we might think of as malicious was still, the Course would say, a moment of fear. You don't serve the planet by holding on to all of that go, because there is much work to be done. And the Course in Miracles says that guilt, just as the way the ego keeps us stuck in the pattern, we never do let it go. So Not only do we want to stop it, do we want to stop languaging it, do we want to stop reminding ourselves and the world how bad we are, what failures we've been, how we don't do it right, and we haven't gotten it right. I hope our commitment tonight will be not only not to language this anymore, but not to support other people in doing it either. You are enabling people when you support that. You are enabling people when you laugh at their jokes about themselves on a certain level. Because when another person puts themselves down, because all minds are joined in ways that we might not recognize, they're putting you down too. And say, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear the Son of God honored. I want to hear the Son of God honored. Because until He is, this world will continue to go through crucifixion after crucifixion after crucifixion, inside of us and outside of us, because we have not been willing to break through with the power of awareness to a state where we have chosen, as responsible consciousnesses in this universe, that we are willing to awaken, we are willing to put that behind us, we are willing to move forward and to rise above. But until we do this, the Course would indicate, consciously and willingly, we will continue to go through the path of least resistance, where we'll bitch about the Son of God, we'll bitch about Him in our neighbor, and we'll bitch about Him in ourselves, and He will continue to suffer, and He will continue to die. In this prayer, then, let's recognize the importance of our suffering, and let's recognize the importance to our healing, and let's recognize that our suffering is not inevitable, that we have suffered enough, that God Himself is ready to begin again, and that the only reason why we ever remain in patterns of suffering is because we ourselves stay there, choose to stay there, by putting ourselves down, by putting other people down, and failing to recognize the glory of the Son of God inside of us and outside of us. And that's not arrogant, once again, to recognize that. It's very, very humble. Let's pray. Dear God, we recognize that we live in a world which is not based on gentleness and peace. We recognize that we live in a world where the Son of God is consistently crucified. We recognize that our own lives have tasted the crucifixion. And we recognize that we, in some ways, have crucified ourselves. Dear God, as of this moment, we ask You to help us. Help us to forgive ourselves, to recognize the good that we have accomplished, to acknowledge ourselves for the strides we have made. Help us to realize that we are successful, for we are ready and willing to be healed. We now invite the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives in this moment more deeply and powerfully than ever before. We give up the past. We release it. We relinquish it. And ask in this moment that the forces of newness, of birth, of productivity, of joy, of harmony, of the sacred spaces of life be ours as never before. We now ask the power of the Holy Spirit to cast out of our minds the voices of attack and judgment, not only on others, but on ourselves. Let us recognize the good we have accomplished, and let us open up to receive much, much, much more. We invite healing of all disease on every level. We invite the light to replace the darkness. We invite the love which replaces fear. We invite the Son of God, in whatever form He appears to us, to stand forth brilliantly in our minds and in our lives. May He sit on His throne within us. And may our world, individually and collectively, become His. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.